Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On a new 4D in the MC, are you still flying high from Monday? Yeah, me too. The Detroit Lions, they were full of highlight reel plays in Baltimore.
That's just two big-time players making a big-time play in crunch time.
But while we fans bask in the glory of victory, Dan Campbell and the Lions have already turned their focus to Cleveland. Plus, Penei Sewell continues to slash towards greatness. And tough luck for
Mr. Unlimited
and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. All of that, now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's fourth down in the Motor City.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave.
Rah, rah, rah!
Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lion victory.
Go Lions!
Hosted by Zach Clark.
I gotta say, Victory Tuesdays are a little weird. I love them, but the Lions not playing on Sunday is, it's just odd. And get used to this. You know, the last couple years, the Lions have gotten used to their fulfillment of primetime games, which, you know, is great. There's something about a 1 o'clock football game that I really love. You can enjoy the rest of the day. But another Monday Night Football game not too far in the future. Baker and the Bucks at Ford Field. That one is going to be fun. We're going to do a little segment called Upon Further Review. We recorded immediately after the Lions won, and I've been thinking about the game all day, and I've got some more developed thoughts than I did 24 hours ago or whatever it was. And a little bit later, just give Penei Sewell that gold jacket, like, now. Just give it to him now. We'll hear from Dan Campbell. He'll recap Monday's win. And, of course, we'll look ahead to Cleveland as well. And we've got a couple of loose ends to tie up. One involves one of my least favorite players, and one involves a former Lion. All right, so upon further review, we thought more about this Lions win on Monday night. But I got to tell you, though, before we get that far, I am still so fired up. Like, I can't imagine how the Lions feel after a win like that. Like, you know, everybody's talking about the Amon-Ra St. Brown profanity rant in the end zone after that touchdown. I played it on the previous episode. I can't imagine the thrill, the rush of winning like that. And you see Jared Goff kind of just sauntering down the tunnel. Everybody handles it differently. And he knew he was on camera, and St. Brown did too, to be clear. Like, I could run through a brick wall right now. But what's nuts for them is they have to channel this into the next game. The 24-hour rule is usually what's observed by professional athletes and college athletes too, and maybe even high school ones. I don't know. I was a high school athlete on the tennis team, and I don't think we had that rule. I don't think anybody cared. Anyway, the 24-hour rule, right? Win or lose, you have 24 hours to think about it. You can dwell, you can celebrate, you can be sad, you can be happy, but after that, it's done. It's over. It never happened, and now it's time for next week. Now it's time for Cleveland. The Lions' time for celebrating is over. Not for me, but the Lions have moved on to Cleveland. They've got to channel that emotion, and they will. But I think a win like that's going to stick with the franchise for a long time. Some are calling it the greatest win of the Campbell era. That has been quite the conversation. But there is something about that game on Monday that felt foundational. Which is a weird thing to say because the Lions are pretty established at this point. This is their second season as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And the year before that, they've gotten the closest they've ever gotten to the Super Bowl, 30 minutes away. 5 years in, this franchise has a foundation. But that win, they haven't had that yet. Where they go on the road as a dog to a team that has owned them and flipped the script and beat them at their own game. The Lions were bullies on the offensive line. They were bullies on the defensive line. That was a statement game, and that statement was loud. It was loud. Now, as far as the best win of the era, I can't do it. They won two playoff games. I know they were both at home, and the Lions were favored in both of them, and they should have won both of them, and they did win both of them. But still, nothing is more valuable than a playoff win. You win games like Monday night to go to the playoffs and win games like that again. It's a foundational building block. But I mean, look, you want to talk about it being the greatest regular season win for the Lions? Sure. Man, it felt good. In fact, I'm surprised how good it made me feel. Not that anybody cares, but woof. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but don't look now. The Lions' schedule, all of a sudden, isn't as gnarly as it once seemed, at least in the immediate. I'm not talking about down the road. And I'll also acknowledge that there's nothing given in the NFL. Everything in the NFL is difficult. Ask Atlanta how it is to beat a team like Carolina. You can't, because Carolina beat the shit out of them. The NFL is a dangerous place to play every week. But the next three games, is Cleveland the toughest one? Probably not. I mean, I say that like half joking. The Cleveland game is at home, and then after that, they're at Cincy and at Kansas City. But like Cincinnati, we'll see what they do this week, but they were embarrassed by another backup quarterback. Carson Wentz, though, I think he's the best backup in the game, which probably makes him a top, 25 quarterback maybe? I don't know. That's probably not fair. But it's probably not wrong either. But I mean, it's a real possibility that Kansas City is like dragging ass. I mean, the Ravens and the Chiefs, one of them's going to be 1-3 after next week. So like, is Cleveland the toughest one? I'm kidding, but I might not be, but also I am, but I don't think I am, actually. I'm not sure I am. I don't think I am. I probably am. And then after those three games, I mentioned it a minute ago, that Monday Night Football game, week 7 against Tampa in Detroit, that game is going to be mayhem, bonkers. I am terrified of Tampa. I didn't ever think I'd say that because the Lions have been kicking their ass left and right in Dan Campbell's tenure. But I take that back. Was it last year they lost? I take that back. Look at me, lying and remembering stuff and not remembering stuff, but then remembering stuff. Does that mean I lied or I'm just stupid? Either way. We're going to hear from Dan Campbell in just a second, but let's talk about Penei Sewell. I mean, can we just give the guy his Hall of Fame jacket? Start carving the bust now. I mean, it's hard to imagine a former 7th overall pick who signed a $112 million contract last year as being a bargain. I mean, he's the highest paid offensive lineman of all time for now. But I mean, how else would you describe him? He's worth every penny. He plays like a number 1 overall draft pick. He has been everything the Lions have wanted and more. Not only is he a 2-time all-pro offensive lineman, but he is reliable. Why am I bringing this up now? Well, I mean, it'd be appropriate any day because he's the man. So there's that. But Pro Football Focus says Penei Sewell's performance against the Ravens was the best run-blocking performance in PFF's 20-year history. What was the number? A whopping 99.7. That's against the run. 99.7. That's a perfect score. I mean, 100 would be, can you even do that? Overall grade, 98.7. Best in 4 years by an offensive lineman. I've said it once and I'll say it again. If Monday was the standard set by the offensive line, Detroit is in great shape. I mean, Ratledge was the second highest offensive player by PFF standard, 91.4. Decker was fifth, 82.9. So 60% of your top five best offensive performers were offensive linemen. Hell yeah. That's how you win football games. I think Monty was third and Saint was fourth. That's how you win football games, right there. All right, let's go inside the headset. Dan Campbell addressing the assembled media a day after the Lions beat Baltimore 38-30. And there was a lot of talk after the Monday night game about a lot of dudes. I mean, Dan Campbell had a list like a mile long. What about DJ Reed?
We had our whole checklist of what we wanted to do defensively, and certainly one of those was shutting down Zay. And so we were going to put Reed on him quite a bit, and I thought he did a heck of a job, man. He's been great for us, and really he's one of the most veteran guys we've had, the exception of Amik, who we got last year, you know, who's, man, he's got skins on the wall. He's a vet. He does it right. He's a pro. He's competitive, man. He fit right in with us. You know, he comes right in, and he's been great for all those guys in the room. He's a great teammate. He's all about ball.
We talked about Zay Flowers a ton coming into this game. He had 2 catches on 3 targets for 13 yards. That's awful. You can't get much worse. Not only did he not get a lot of touches, they didn't even look his way. He was taken out of the game plan. I know it was close, and so you don't throw the ball as much, but you can't tell me your number one wide receiver, one of the best in the game, is going to be satisfied on 2 catches, 3 targets, 13 yards. Nobody should be satisfied with that. I mean, I am. The Lions are. You know, Terry and Arnold continues to have a rough go of it. At least it seems that way. He seems to make the most obvious mistakes, the ones that even idiots like me can pick up on. That's not, I'm saying that he's an idiot, it's just mistakes he makes a lot of times are pretty obvious. Flags, blown coverage. Is there anything into Reed drawing the assignment on Zay? Terry Arnold hasn't been playing like a number one corner. He's got it in him. I know he does. I refuse to believe he doesn't. I don't know. We're 3 weeks in. His camp was great. I'm not going to worry about Terrian. Shout out to DJ Reed. We talk about the coordinators. I'll say it again. Well, no, wait. You know what? Dan Campbell will say it this time. This has always been MCDC's team.
We do what we do here. We have an identity. We have a culture. And nothing's going to change that. I thought Shep did a hell of a job in preparation and calling of the game. And the players, man, really responded. And I bring it up again, man. They made this plan come to life. John Morton, man, what a great job, you know. And every week they've gotten better and better and better. And we're all figuring each other out now in those roles. I know them very well. But it's about now Shep in the DC role, Johnny in the OC role, with me as the head coach. And we're getting more and more comfortable every week. And those guys, I just thought they did a hell of a job.
The question was about the new coordinators finding their groove. But I want to go back to the beginning of what Dan said. This team does have an identity. They do have a culture. It's their own culture. They made it. They manifested it. They grew it. They fostered it. They developed it. It's not the Patriot way or anybody else's way. It is the Detroit Lions way. This is how we play football week in and week out. This is the standard. The Lions never had a standard. I shouldn't say never, but for a long time, the standard was fluctuating, and at best, it was, Jim Caldwell probably had the best culture. Back-to-back winning seasons. If I was a guy like that, I'd get fired, I don't know. But we ultimately got Dan Campbell out of the deal, so thanks, Jim. I can't stop talking about Al-Qadeen Muhammad. The way he announced himself last night, outstanding.
Muhammad plays with maximum effort. Of course he's got ability, but he plays with maximum effort all the time, nonstop. And one of the things about, especially a guy like Lamar, we talk about is, man, everybody's got a role and where you fit in it. And it requires you to be very disciplined, all right? So if somebody's got a two-way go, somebody's got to cover for him. That way, whenever he comes out, could be a spy, you're going to flush him to somebody. And so he ended up being the benefactor of some of those, too, because everybody else was doing their job, and he's going to give you all-out effort. And so it happened to go his way on some of these, and he made those plays. You know, he went and got them. There's going to be games where he's the one flushing at the hutch, or he's flushing at the reader, or somebody else. But that's, man, that's how it works. And really, all of that is because of our back end. We're able to hold on back there, man, and cover our tails off for that extra split second, which buys you time to get there.
At the end of the game, he and Hutch were walking off the field like best friends. They were practically skipping. I'm not saying Kwan's going to be an all-pro, but I'm going to tell you that he's going to take that starting spot. He already has. And he can help Aiden Hutchinson be an all-pro. I love that quote by Campbell where, I'm going to force you to go here, and so this guy is going to catch you. If Hutch can railroad guys, that funnels the middle, and that allows more pressure. Having two studly defensive ends is great. Having a superstar and a really good one, or a superstar and a good one, is damn good. We have these conversations relatively frequently about the Lions and their toughness and selflessness. And it would be easy to see a guy like J-Mo as like a vanity type player, especially after that big payday. But he certainly isn't. And that's not how it works on this team.
The very last, and there was more than just that, that last touchdown we had at Davis, that was unbelievable. I mean, that's what he does. That's what all those receivers do in that room. They set the tone. They're very much a part of that run game, and they own it, and they take pride in it. I thought he blocked all day long. I thought he got after it, and I mean, that's just, you know, go up two scores, and he's a huge part of that, man, out there blocking on the perimeter for David. So I thought his blocking was really good.
Everybody blocks. Everybody pulls their weight and then some. LaPorta said something earlier this week about there's a chance for everybody to contribute on every play. Run game, pass play, whatever. So even if you're not going to touch the ball, you are a part of what's going to make this offense go forward every single snap. And they all know that. The way that the offensive studs block, the running backs, the wide receivers, Sam LaPorta's a great blocker. I'd rather not see Jared Goff throw a block. He's done it before. I think there was a game earlier this season that appeared he thought about it. Please don't. Ball in hand or not, 11 Lions contribute every play. And what happens? They beat the Ravens on the road. Stick around. More of Fourth Down in the Motor City is next. And now, more of Fourth Down in the Motor City. I think Troy Aikman said something on Monday about brass balls, or maybe it was onions, I can't remember. But it was Dan Campbell making that call to Goff to St. Brown on fourth down, right? But, you know, you can show big balls in other ways. Like Dan Campbell's not afraid to send out Jake Bates, and Bates is not afraid to take a crack at a 67-yarder.
Look, I appreciated the fact he gave it a go. You know, it wasn't I thought he gave it a fair shot. He went up there and, you know, it was a little bit off, but you know, I appreciate that. We're going to keep doing that, too. He'll make those.
As Lions fans know all too well, the NFL record is 66 yards. It was Justin Tucker to beat the Lions in 2021. That sucked. And it takes two things to break a record like that. You got to have the leg, and your coach has to give you the opportunity. I think Bates has the leg. Does he have the accuracy? I don't know. He didn't last night. But Dan thinks he does. He said he made one longer than that in practice. It sounds like he's hit from 70 in practice, but that, I don't say it doesn't count, but it's different. Dan Campbell's not afraid of anything that he thinks might work. Will he get to 70? If they have a chance for a 67 or 68 yarder again, they're taking it, especially in that spot. You know, on a night like Monday, David Montgomery will remind you this is a two-back system.
Well, I haven't forgotten about David, so I can tell you that right now. He's exactly who we know he is. We know what David is. I mean, that's his type of game. You know, that's right up his alley. We know the kind of back he is. We feel like he can do everything for us. And the 1-2 punch with he and Gibbs, we think, is what makes both of those guys pretty special. You know, they play off each other. They give each other a breather. We trust both of them in the game to do multiple jobs. And that guy's, he's special. He's special.
And I don't think people forget about David Montgomery. How could you? But I do know that J-Mo is younger and flashier, and I think that leads to more attention. And they flipped roles this year, kind of, right? Montgomery was your starter, quote-unquote, last year. It's not him anymore. It's Gibbs. But you can't ignore 155 yards and 2 touchdowns, can you? Hell no. All right, one more from Dan Campbell. I love it when football gets, like, insanely nerdy. The question here is about using one play to set up another one.
I think we try to do that with everything. I would say probably most offenses are doing that, particularly early in the game. You're just trying to, some of it is you want to see what you're going to get. You want to know the look. Because whatever the play is you're waiting to run, you want to know, you're getting verification that it's what you thought you were going to get. I mean, you can watch tape, but sometimes you just need to know that they're going to play you straight up, is what some of that comes down to. But you try to show something, you like the plays, then you have something that you counter off of it, you know? And that's all good as long as you can run the football, right? Because if you can run the football, then you can have boots off of it, keepers off of it. You can have play action pass off of it. If you can't run it, then you can do all the bells and whistles you want, and they'll just stand there and stare at you and stick it to you. So, you know, you still got to be able to do the bread and butter of what football's about, man. You got to be able to come off the football pad level, the angles, the leg drive, the whole thing, man, and play fundamental football.
And what he's talking about, in the second quarter, the Lions ran a QB sneak with Goff on third down, and it worked. But that play was almost like a Trojan horse. To start the fourth quarter, the Lions brought out that exact same package. It was goal to go, 4 yards. So you're thinking to yourself, would Goff take it again? That's a little long for him. I mean, you know. But they already showed it to you. So what do they do instead? Goff flips to Saint, who flips to Gibbs, who scores a touchdown. And I know every team does this, but it's the shit like this that makes me feel so romantic about football. Really warms the cockles of my heart, you know? Before we bounce out of here, 2 quick topics. Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
Is going to the bench. We had talked about it happening after the bye. The problem with the bye for the Giants this season in that situation is that it's week 14. The latest you can have it, that's a long-ass time to wait to bench your quarterback if you want to. Lions host the Giants in Week 12. Unless he gets hurt, Dart is the guy going forward. And ultimately, this is not a surprise. We talked about this with Penix and Cousins when Penix got benched the other day. Football's about the future. There's no reality in which
Mr. Unlimited
is your future. He's too old. Jackson Dart, you drafted him to be your future. You know when the future is? Now. It starts now. Today, this moment, the future is now. The past is behind us. There is no present. There's only future and past. And then to wrap it up, CJ Gardner-Johnson has been cut by the winless Texans. You know, his bullshit's only worth it if he can ball. Like last year, 6 picks in a Super Bowl. That you'll tolerate. But this season, he has no PBUs, no picks through 3 games, and the reports of him in the locker room that he's an a-hole. And we kind of knew that already. But the juice is not worth the squeeze in this situation. But all I can think about with him is the ski mask. It was quite a moment, like a fever dream. Like it didn't happen, but it did happen, but it didn't happen because it was so fast and he got hurt, they lost. If there was a museum of remember that one time, you can put the mask in there. Make sure you're following 4th Down in the Motor City wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, that includes the free Odyssey app. If you have not done so yet, please rate us and leave a review. We appreciate it. Thank you. We're back in your feed tomorrow. And remember, it's 4th Down in the Motor City, and we're going for it every single time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.